Welcome, everybody, into another edition of Weekend Drive. Jason Stein will be joining us later in the show, but for now, I'm Mike Martinez. He's Mike Whalen. And Mike, it's summertime.
Yeah.
It's time for lighter sport coats, maybe some fast convertible sports cars like the Corvette, or maybe not. And that's sort of the point, what we'll be talking about today, that Corvette sales aren't doing so hot.
They're not, and I'm amazed. Because they've got the ZR1 that's out, and you've got the ZR1 at 6.2 liter, 755 horsepower, and 715 pound-feet of torque. Those numbers alone should be having people drive to the dealership to pick one up. But unfortunately, the sales have been down this year alone 25.3%, and before that it was 16.4%. And this is in addition to Chevy bringing out the Z06, the Grand Sport, and just having a lot of hype around this iconic sports car. But we haven't been seeing the halo effect that someone at Dodge, like the Hellcat or the Demon, have been seeing with the Challenger and Charger.
And you have a pretty specific take on this. You think you know why. Tell me.
Okay. Before we get to that, Camaro sales are also down 31%. This year. Last year it was 6.6%, so I think it's just a very large segment problem, but I think the Corvette's problem specifically is something that we've all been talking about for years, and it's the mid-engine Corvette.
Now, this beast that will hopefully be coming out soon has been teased for years now, two or three years.
It's been discussed. Oh, no, far, far more than that. It's just been discussed. Bankruptcy era, I believe, around there. Then it was halted, and then it was brought back, and then it was halted. And we've been reporting on it, and our media colleagues have been quite extensively for, 3 or 4 years. And we've been seeing the spy photos now for 2 years. And I just think it's kind of having people delay going to the dealership and getting a new Corvette, or the Corvette loyalists who might have gotten the Stingray for the first model year was out and haven't re-upped, waiting for the mid-engine and just waiting to see when and where and how much this car is actually going to be priced.
I guess I agree with you, right? Because if I'm a Corvette buyer, I want to see what they'll be coming out with next. But to your point a little while ago about Camaro, this goes beyond Corvette. You look at all sports cars across the segment, not doing well at all, except for the Challenger, which is how old at this point?
The Hellcat Halo.
It's still at 4.1%. You look at Camaro down 30%. You look at Mustang down 5%, although within the past month in June it was up 19%. But, Mike, I'm just not sure if the sales are there because customers want crossovers, they want SUVs, or if it's because of the increasing price. Because every year you get a new feature, whether it's the Mustang with the Performance Pack number 2 now for the 2018 model year, whether it's the Challenger and Charger Redline that they just announced a couple weeks ago. You're adding more of these features. You're adding the horsepower, which is fun. These cars are a blast to drive. But now you have Mustangs that are north of $50,000.
One thing I saw on social media actually earlier this month was on April 7th, they were calling it Hellcat Day. And they were posting photos of Hellcats because of the 707 horsepower.
Sure.
But now you can even get more horsepower in it. So, it's a moving target. But I don't know. When you think about Corvette and Camaro and Mustang, I kind of think of the drop tops and just kind of summer and fun. But they're a little bit more flashy and less muscle, like the Charger and Challenger. And we've talked about this on the show before, the difference between kind of Camaro, Mustang, and the problems that GM was having with Chevy and the packaging and maybe being more of a driver's car than an everyday driver.
The sight lines aren't even that great.
Exactly. And I just think overall, maybe the new generation coming up who are kind of entering that age where they can buy these vehicles might not want something that flashy and might be more interested in crossover.
As somebody who doesn't mind flashy things, whether it's a sport coat or a car, I think that's absurd.
Well, we talk about millennials killing everything. But this is
so you're saying millennials are killing sports cars?
This isn't the millennials that are buying these cars. It's the people who are retiring now and might just want more room or might not want something as flashy. They went through the recession when they were working, and they just don't want to have that big ticket item. ZR1, $120,000-ish. And when you look at that, or you can wait for the mid-engine Corvette, which we are not exactly sure where that's going to be priced, I'm not sure you want to throw down that money right away.
It's interesting. You see companies like Ford maybe appealing to the older generations with the flashbacks this year. You have the Bullet being revived. You have GT350 coming out again. You have the California Special Edition out there as well. So who they're targeting is just as important as they're trying to boost these sales.
Look at the Ford GT when you're thinking about maybe more of the mid-engine Corvette and these, I mean, high performance sports cars. And now they're also, they've got new competitors like the McLaren out there, as well as Tesla, and a bunch of up-and-coming competitors that maybe a lot of the people who would have gone to Corvette or who would have kind of thrown down the money for the ZR1 already might be looking at those vehicles.
Another wild card is these things get increasingly electric. As the years go on, you wonder how that's going to impact sales, if the fanboys will revolt at all.
Yeah.
So we'll see as the year plays out. Obviously, the warmer months, we may see some more sales for Camaro, Challenger, Mustang.
We're still looking at driving them anytime.
Et cetera. Yeah, definitely. That was just in the Mustang last week. It was great. But for now, we're going to toss it to Jason Stein, who is standing by with a special guest to talk about the future of auto shows after this break.
Hello, I'm Hannah Lutz for Automotive News. I'd like you to join me for 40 Under 40 Live, an interactive online discussion with five of this year's 40 Under 40 retail honorees. On July 19th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, learn how in a flat new vehicle sales market, dealerships are turning their energy elsewhere, homing in especially on the used vehicle business, finance and insurance, and fixed operations. And the best part, you'll be able to ask the honorees questions to find out how their secrets to success can apply to your business. It's completely free and easy to attend. Save your seat now at autonews.com/40under40live.
Thank you, guys, and happy Saturday from the happiest of locations, Half Moon Bay in California, where the Association of Auto Shows in North America is having their annual convention. And I'm joined by a guy who knows a thing or two about auto shows. So Mark Scheinberg, you are the head of the Greater New York Auto Show, Auto Dealers Association. And you run just a kind of a small deal every spring with the New York Auto Show.
Yeah, it's a humbling experience to be part of an organization that's put on 118 auto shows, years of auto shows on it, being the first auto show in North America. There's sort of a caretaker situation when it comes to it, but it's a fabulous event.
So we talked on Weekend Drive about auto shows recently, and we talked about the impact that they provide. We also talked about them getting a little bit more experiential, making it more inviting for consumers. I know you've worked a lot on that. Tell us what you're doing and how it's worked out for you.
Well, it's interesting with auto shows, and again, going back 118 years when the first auto show ever occurred, it was bringing together a piece of transportation that most people never saw before. So just having that on the floor was just sort of amazing for people to see. But, you know, you got to do more than putting cars on carpet to get people excited by what's going on. And manufacturers do a fabulous job in bringing new exciting things every year to the table that's on it. But it has to be something where people are not only getting the information that they're looking for on the next product that they're buying, but they're also enjoying the experience of doing it. So having things that they can interact with that's on it, whether they're doing some ride and drives that are there. There's so much that consumers, you know, are looking to get from coming to an event, in which is amazing that this is one of the only kind of events in which they're actually paying to be marketed to. So the public is coming because they're wanting something out of it. It's delivering it in a way that's exciting for them, that makes it come back for them. You know, we always talk about millennials are just stuck on their computers that's on there. And 26% of the population in New York is considered millennials. Last year, we had 36% of the people that came to the show were considered millennials. So
young people are interested in cars, clearly.
So they're interested in cars, and they're interested in how that information is being delivered.
So a lot of talk in the news over the last year or so about the brands that are not exhibiting at auto shows. You've added more brands over the years. What would you say for an auto show, no matter where it is globally, when it comes to retaining brands and making this a better experience?
Well, I think the first thing that's really interesting about doing it is that it's not necessarily how big, how many people come to the show. We're fortunate we're in the largest market in the country for vehicle sales, and we get huge attendance that's on there. But the people that are actually coming to the show, at least in our exit surveys, 68% of the people that came to the New York Auto Show in 2018 were in the market for buying a car within the next 12 months. So there were real intenders that were on there. And then it's like the manufacturer's real ability to be able to sit and talk to them about specific information. The manufacturers do a fabulous job with bringing in product specialists that are there. In the New York market, you know, it's a big luxury car market. It's the biggest exotic car market, and that's where we've added on brands to it. At one point, manufacturers, Lamborghini, Bugatti, and all those said, shows aren't really the place that we need to be, but they have found through their experience that's exactly where they should be being to market their vehicles. So we have grown in not only, you know, the different manufacturers that are represented, but in the classification of cars that are being shown.
And the fact is, there's more information online for buyers to attain price and other facets of the purchase. This is the place to go experience the car.
Yeah, and I tell the story about my brother came to the auto show a couple of years ago. He lives in Manhattan. He hasn't had a car in umpteen years. And he had a bucket list of a couple of manufacturers that he was thinking about buying one of those vehicles. And he went around the show, talked to product specialists. And the vehicle he chose was not originally on his bucket list. So, which tells a message to the manufacturers, you've got to be in this environment. Because this is where people are adding and subtracting brands for their consideration list. And that's really important for somebody who's, the investment is large for a manufacturer to come in to an area and set up an exhibit that's on there. But people are actually making their decisions or getting closer to that ultimate decision on which car to buy.
I know you're part of the Greater New York Auto Dealers Association. To me, this is part of Greater New York, isn't it? Why don't you move the show right over here?
You know, this is one of the best settings, and really is a lot of work that we're doing during this conference on it, even though it doesn't look like the setting is conducive to it.
You're doing plenty of work. Mark Scheinberg, thank you so much. Thank you for being on Weekend Drive.
Thank you.
Gentlemen from Half Moon Bay, back to Detroit and back to you.
Thanks, Jason. Now, before we go, we want to remind you guys to drop us a line at weekenddrive@crane.com. Especially this week, we know you probably have a lot of opinions about what we just talked about.
Especially, I mean, the mid-engine Corvette, the kind of muscle car wars. We see comments about that all the time. So send us a question, comment, and maybe we'll read it on air.
Definitely. And until then, we'll see you next week.